So tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cried for you.
A blocked 46-yard field goal saved the day for the Packers. They escaped Chicago with a 2019 victory over the Chicago Bears. Green Bay now 7-3 in a very crowded NFC playoff picture, very crowded division. They keep pace with the Lions and Vikings who continue to win. Vikings are winning, sometimes ugly. The Lions are putting up half a hundred on teams. Like, it's just whatever. They're just rolling over everybody, which almost makes their performance against the Packers seem like, man, maybe the Packers played better there than we are giving them credit for against a very tough Detroit Lions team. Niners coming to Lambeau on Sunday. Time to check in with ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon every weekday. Wilde, greetings.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. So, we want to make sense of what we saw yesterday. I want to start with you and the defense here, because there are numbers that indicate the Packers had a rough day on defense, yet the final score would indicate they had a pretty good day on defense, allowing just 19 points. How do you make sense of the Packers' defensive performance yesterday? And maybe a better question, how do coaches digest what happened yesterday?
Yeah, look, they did not play well defensively, right? And while I think they realized some of what a new offensive coordinator in Thomas Brown replacing Shane Waldron was going to result in, which was their quarterback, Caleb Williams, getting the ball out of his hand more quickly, they clearly weren't ready for the designed runs and the, hey, you've gone through your first read, it's not there, take off and run, which is some of what Caleb Williams did yesterday. Look, they gave up 391 yards. They allowed the Bears to win the time of possession battle 37 minutes to 23 minutes. Matt LaFleur lamenting how few offensive possessions they had. Well, that's because you let the Bears have the ball for as much as they did, because they couldn't get off the field on third down. 9 of 16 for the Bears on third down, and then 3 of the 7 that they did stop on third down, the Bears picked it up on fourth down, including the 3rd and 19, leading to the field goal attempt at the end. So, you know, they really struggled defensively against a team that had gone 25 consecutive possessions without a touchdown before the touchdown by Johnson at the end of the first half, and had been 6 of 40 on third down in the previous three games. So, you know, they allowed a team that was really struggling offensively to be productive. And I know today in the film session, there wasn't a whole lot of celebrating. There was a lot of criticism instead.
So then I guess that leads to me asking, Jason, should we be concerned a little bit more about this Packers defense? They're just littered all over the place with first-round draft picks, and you've got a new defensive coordinator. I don't know if it's the same as it was last year, but the results most certainly are not what they want them to be.
Yeah, I as you well know, Gary, it's a week-to-week league, and some games you just don't play well. And they clearly weren't ready for Caleb Williams running. He had 70 yards running. And they missed opportunities. Like, let's be honest, when the game was on the line, T.J. Slayton gets a sack. Rashawn Gary comes off the milk carton and gets a sack. And then J.J. Enagbare has a chance for another sack on the 3rd and 19 play and doesn't get Caleb Williams down. Now, credit to Caleb Williams for escaping, but Enagbare's got to get him down to the ground there. And then it's like 4th and 26 or something, which we know is hard but not impossible to convert. So, look, the big picture, I don't think it's a catastrophic performance, but, you know this. Coaches love to coach off of wins, where they can be hard on their team because they won. And they don't – if you lose a tough game, coaches are a little reluctant to light India too hard because they know you're disappointed. They know that you feel like you let the team down. But when you win, that's when you can be coached hard. And they get to be coached hard this week with a really big-time showdown. I don't care what happened in against Seattle on Sunday. The 49ers are pointed in the right direction. And the team that has ended 3 of their last 5 seasons is coming to town, and the performance by that defense will not be good enough next Sunday, but it was just good enough yesterday.
Kind of quietly here, Jason, Josh Jacobs has eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark here total on the season, rushing and receiving combined, and done so you know, at this juncture of the season, 10 games in. That puts him in a pretty nice group of company of Packers players who have done that in history. Maybe not flashy, but certainly getting the job done, and effective toughness, 20 touches a game, that seems to be commonplace here. Is Goody getting what he expected out of this, in effect, running back swap, Josh Jacobs for Aaron Jones?
He is, and look, you know, Aaron Jones, too, I know he's dealt with some injuries, which was one of the reasons why they made the swap, but, you know, Josh Jacobs had a quadriceps injury he was playing through. He had the ankle injury a couple weeks ago that he was dealing with, but he is a durable guy, and he just, you know, 134 yards yesterday rushing and receiving combined, like, that's what you want. You want him to be able to carry the offense. And what did Jordan Love throw? 17 passes all day? And I think Christian Watson caught four. Jacobs, I think, caught four. That's eight of them right there. I think Romeo only had one catch. He had a drop, too. So, like, they really did not have very many offensive snaps. And Josh Jacobs was a vital part of roughly half of them.
No, and he was, and I like the fact that they threw the ball to him a little bit more out of the backfield too, so which increases his touches and his workload. And I don't know if that was a product of checkdowns or was it scripted into the offense, but I like the way they were a little bit more creative with getting Josh the ball on Sunday.
I think some of it was checkdowns, right? Which, you know, that sounds boring, but considering some of the questionable decisions Jordan Love had made in the previous games where he had checkdowns, he chose not to throw to them, and they ended up in either incompletions or turnovers, I thought that was important. I thought the biggest thing that came out of yesterday, you know, and it's great that we can be critical of them and they still won and they still extended the winning streak to 11 games over the Bears. To me, the biggest thing that comes out of yesterday is Jordan Love looked like Jordan Love, right? I mean, yes, yeah. He threw another interception, and I get that, but that was a physical error, not a mental error, not a bad decision. He went to the right place with the ball. He just threw it too high. But he took checkdowns. He moved like we're accustomed to see him moving, which we had not seen him do really since the injury in Brazil. So I thought that was the biggest plus that came out of the game, was that Jordan Love looked like Jordan Love again. And he only threw 17 passes. He only had one touchdown pass. He still had an interception. But on balance, him looking like himself again, I thought was huge.
Showed some toughness running the football as well, which I don't know if Matt LaFleur loves that, but kind of lunging at the goal line, taking a pretty big hit. We've talked about that before, Jason, right? You know, it's on the line. You got to score. You got to get into the end zone. That's one side of it. And the other side of it is, look, we just got you healthy, dude. Can you make sure you don't put yourself in harm's way again?
Yeah, you know, he and I have a fun relationship on that. Like, I admitted to him that I was a helicopter parent with the girls, and he basically accused me of being a helicopter beat writer because last year I got after him a few times saying, dude, look, you got to slide. It's dangerous out there. And I told him the story, which he didn't know because he was, you know, in like high school at the time, or maybe even grade school. But in the 2010 season, Rodgers runs in Detroit and dives head first and gets a concussion. And that could have ruined their season, which ends up being a Super Bowl season. Like, if they miss the playoffs, And they did lose to New England the following week without him, but they still get into the playoffs. But if they don't make the playoffs, little did you know that it was a Super Bowl championship that was ruined by him taking an unnecessary risk. Now, let's give Jordan credit. He did certainly risk life and limb on that run to the pylon, and yep. He emerged without getting hurt. But at least he lowered his non-throwing shoulder. Right? We got to give him credit for that at least.
No, we do. And I would say this, in an attempt to be funny, this weekend game against the 49ers, I probably would dress Robert Saleh out in Packer issue gear, and I will have Matt LaFleur say, hey, Robert, just stand next to me as I call the plays, and we'll look over at Shanahan.
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, I don't know exactly what they're planning on getting out of Robert Saleh. He was obviously at practice all last week again. I don't know about you. Did you guys, I mean, I didn't go to Chicago. I didn't see him on the sideline, so I don't know if he's going to any games, but maybe this one he would. But look, one of the things that I think is interesting, and one of the reasons why I like the idea of having Robert Saleh on your staff, is it's another guy who's been a head coach and a head coach in the NFL. Like, I'm not downgrading the significance of Jeff Hafley being a college head coach. Head coaching is head coaching, but it's still different. But, like, for example, I would be curious if you have Saleh at your disposal on a game day, like, does LaFleur bounce the idea of going for it on fourth and goal from the six when he could have taken the points and made it 19-17? Is that something that he would bounce off of Saleh? Because as the head coach, even as a defensive-minded head coach, he was the one making those decisions in New York, and I'd be curious if that's something that he even considers in terms of, yeah, you know what, would you go for this here? I mean, LaFleur, what I thought was interesting today, he did admit, I asked him about that. I said, you know, with 24 hours now to think about it, would you do anything different on going for it on that fourth down and goal? And he said, you know, he kind of said the same thing about how there had been limited possessions and whatever else. But then he said that he went to the analytics department today to ask them what the numbers said. And according to him, they told him that it was only a 2-3% difference between kicking the field goal and going for it. And it was in favor of going for it. So it was basically, as LaFleur put it, flipping a coin. And he chose to go for it. It obviously didn't work out. But the fact of the matter is that he said he doesn't really pay attention to the analytics anyway. He goes with his gut. And he literally said, I don't care about that. Which I think is interesting in an era where so many coaches kind of live and die by what the numbers tell them.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a reckless decision at the time, looking at the amount of time left in the game, and he was talking about, limited number of possessions and plays. But I'm looking at the clock, Jason. There's still over 11 minutes left in the game. You are going to get the ball back. You will, I promise. And then you got to do something with it. To me, that felt... You made up your mind, you went for it, you live with the result. That felt reckless to me.
Yeah, it felt emotional to me. Like, he was pissed off at the way the game had gone, and he kind of let his emotions decide that. But again, your point is exactly right. Like, there was 11 and a half minutes left in the game. Like, even if your defense against this struggling offense, or at least had been struggling until you guys faced it, even if your defense doesn't get a stop until it's a field goal, you know, you kick the field goal, you're down two, they kick the field goal back at you, you're back down five, you're right where you are when you failed, right? So there was no way that the Bears were going to chew up all 11 and a half minutes that were left in that game. There just was no way that was happening. And so I thought it was a mistake too. But he made the call, and he had to live with it.
I know we talk all things Packers here, but I just have to ask you this one question that's not regarding the Green Bay Packers. You ready for this?
His Christmas decorations aren't up yet, Gary.
No, not that.
Well, they most definitely by the way.
Am I on his Christmas list? No, not that. Were you surprised at the news that came down yesterday that Phil Longo was let go?
Yeah, I guess I didn't expect the timing. We obviously saw the Bears get a bump from it, so maybe that's what Fickle's thinking. But again, that, like, they got a lot of problems, and obviously that was a mismatch marriage to begin with. Like, it's not like those two had worked together and had history together, so it just felt like it never worked. so it kind of felt like not a surprise. I didn't love how he handled it today, basically telling reporters, what does it matter who calls the plays?
Yeah.
No, it matters. Otherwise, you wouldn't have fired the guy.
Right. 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 I was surprised. 10/12 of the way during
the
season.
You know what? I love when Jason get that high pitch. Yeah, it matters, buddy.
Jason, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. I think the Glockenspiel has to have the candles lit for it to move, so keep that in mind as you make your tour around the Christmas decorations at the house. Appreciate it, pal. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Yep, you too. You have a Glockenspiel at the house?
No, I don't even know what
it is. It's a little German wood thing. It's kind of a carousel. No. You light candles and the thing spins.
I got a Glock, though, but I don't know what the spiel is.
Very different. Yeah, okay. Very, very different. It's 6:34 here on 94.5 ESPN. On our way back, best electric electrifying play of the game. We'll dive into our Twitter poll question as well. We'll do it after this.